Many parents are under the mistaken belief that child support ends in Canada when their child turns 18 years of age. Some even base their financial planning around being unburdened with child support when their offspring reaches voting age. Parents can be shocked to learn that child support obligations can continue long after their children reach the age of majority, in some cases, much longer. When and why parents can be on the hook for child support when their children are adults is the topic of this episode of the Ontario Family Law Podcast. I'm John Schumann, a certified specialist in family law in Ontario. I'm also a mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer. This podcast is a companion to my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on the iBookstore, Amazon, Kobo, and in fine bookstores. Child support is often a hot topic. Many parents resent having to pay it and want it to end as soon as possible. I have explained how child support works in previous episodes. This episode is about when child support ends and how that can be much later than many parents expect. Unlike several jurisdictions in the United States, child support in Canada does not automatically end for a child when he or she turns 18 years old. In Canada, child support continues for children after their 18th birthday in one of two circumstances. The first scenario is when the child is disabled, such that he or she remains financially dependent on his or her parents and cannot obtain employment that is adequate to meet his or her needs. The second type of circumstances that give parents a legal responsibility to pay support for an adult child is when that child is enrolled in a full-time program of education. In theory, that program of education must be career-oriented and not just an excuse for the child to remain dependent. There is a debate over whether a victory lap in high school, where a child who spends an extra year in high school, qualifies the child to continue to receive child support. One factor to be considered is whether the child is spending that extra year to hang out with friends, or to avoid entering the workforce, or to avoid starting post-secondary education, rather than continuing his or her studies to meet the educational requirements of a particular program. Some judges suggest that a child is only entitled to child support for a victory lap if that extra year is related to career or education advancement. An important difference in child support for children over 18 years of age is that the child support tables no longer presumptively apply, although most judges do continue to use the tables as a starting point. Once a child is over 18 years old, the parents and the court, if the parents don't agree, can make other arrangements for support than that is required pursuant to the child support tables in order to suit a child's particular circumstances. For children over 18 years old who are enrolled in a full-time program of education, their educational expenses may constitute special or extraordinary expenses under Section 7 of the Child Support Guidelines. That means the child's parents must contribute to the post-secondary education, tuition, books, residence, and other related expenses in proportion to their incomes. This does not mean that children of separated parents are automatically entitled to have their entire post-secondary education paid for by their parents, while their peers who have intact families have to pay for their education. Judges are supposed to consider, first, what arrangements would have been made for the children's education if the family was still intact. Second, the affordability of the education for the parents. Parents of modest means are not expected to find money that they do not have to send their children to expensive college and university programs. The education must be one that would have been financially possible if the family had stayed together. Third, what contribution the child should make to his or her own education. The longer a child spends in school, the more that the courts expect the child to contribute to the cost of that education. The courts expect children to apply for grants and scholarships and to incur a reasonable amount of student debt in light of their parents' financial situation. The courts also expect children to work unless their parents are exceptionally wealthy and can afford to send their children on other enrichment programs, such as trips to Europe for the summer. University and college students should get summer jobs, assuming that is possible, and use some of their earnings towards the cost of their education. The longer children are in post-secondary education, generally the more judges expect them to contribute to the cost of that education. However, What is not clear how these factors should impact on the amount of child support judges err on providing support to the child. One area where judges reduce support is in relation to tax credits for tuition. These credits means that students get some money back on their taxes when they pay tuition.
Oh, yeah.
But the savings are usually greater if the student transfers those tax credits to their parents.
Hey.
Section 7 sub 3 of the Child Support Guidelines says that those tax savings must be taken off the total cost that parents share, which reduces how much parents must pay. While residence or living away from home for school costs are shared, students usually do not live away from school for 12 months of the year. It is common for the child support payer to pay the full table amount of monthly child support while the child is at home from school, and a reduced monthly amount while the child is away at school. The logic behind this is that a portion of the base child support is to pay for food and accommodation, but the parents are already sharing the cost of food and accommodation as special or extraordinary expenses while the child is living away from home to go to college or university.
Oh.
However, the recipient parent is also maintaining a home for the child to come back to, so some amount of support is appropriate to cover the expense of just keeping a home for the child to go back to during school breaks.
Ah.
Since the tables no longer presumptively apply, parents of adult dependent children are free to agree to other arrangements than the strict monthly payments pursuant to the tables, or the arrangements I just discussed for paying for college or university. Sometimes one parent pays for all of the post-secondary education costs and stops paying base child support entirely. Sometimes the parents agree to be responsible for specific expenses. RESP should also factor in, as with proper setup and contributions, a parent can significantly reduce how much he or she will have to pay out of pocket for the cost of their children's post-secondary education. Speaking to a financial planner and a family lawyer when parents have separated can really make children's college and university costs more affordable.
Oh, yeah.
Another situation that sometimes comes up is when a child takes a year or more off and then returns to school full time. In that situation, the child may once again become dependent, and that may entitle him or her to child support once again. However, the longer a child has been in the workforce, the more a judge will expect that child will have put money away towards their education before looking to their parents for help. Also, child support is likely not appropriate if a child's employer is sending him or her to school. For example, it is hard to hit parents for child support when an employer gives a child leave to do an MBA with a promise of a better position and higher salary on return. Without separated parents, that child would have taken out a loan because that would have been the smart financial decision. After a child turns 18, child support payments may not end, but the parents have more freedom over how they will share their child's expenses.
Oh.
Child support can continue for as long as the child is alive, theoretically even after the death of the parents, when an illness or disability prevents a child from getting a job and becoming financially independent. Laziness is not an illness or a disability. Neither is a poor job market, a recession, or a pandemic.
Oh.
It must be some form of disability that prevents the child from earning enough money to become financially independent. The type of disability that prevents a person from working is almost always one that is serious enough to make them eligible for the Disability Tax Credit, the Ontario Disability Support Program, the Canada Pension Plan Disability Pension, and other government support programs. Those programs can pay for many of the living expenses for people with a disability. Once a child turns 18 years old, and the child is supposed to be trying to become financially independent from his or her parents, the government programs can help with that. When they do, and they cover many of the costs that would have been covered by child support for adult children can be reduced below the table amount to take into account those government programs.
Ah.
Another significant child support consideration for disabled adult children is Section 7 expenses. Programs such as the Assistive Devices Program and the Disability Tax Credits can affect how much people with disabilities and their parents can be out of pocket for equipment and treatment. As discussed in a previous episode, parents only share the after-tax deduction and after-tax credits and after subsidy cost of Section 7 expenses.
Oh.
So parents do not share the full cost of medical equipment and devices. They share that cost after the tax deductions, after the tax credits, after the subsidies and grants have all been taken into account and taken off the total costs. That can profoundly affect a parent's child support obligations. Since so much of the particulars of the circumstances of can affect child support for a child over 18, and since there are many options for how child support can be paid, the best thing to do is to figure out child support for your situation by speaking to a lawyer about the specifics of that situation. If you need some more general family law guidance, or you need to understand Ontario family law matters better so you can make better decisions, or if you need to better understand your obligations for child support, or if you need to better understand your financial options after separation and divorce, or if you need some tips for how best to make these difficult types of decisions, get a copy of my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law. You can access it immediately on the iBookstore on Amazon for the Kindle version, or you can download it for Kobo. Amazon can deliver the paperback version directly to your doorstep. You can also get a lot more Ontario family law information on www.schumannlaw.ca. Not only are there hundreds of pages of family law information and links, but there are links where to get copies of my books and links to reach my office to meet with either me or one of my colleagues. Because it is always best to get a lawyer who can give you expert advice that is specific to your situation. In addition to my website, keep up to date on family law and children's law issues by liking my Facebook page, following me on Twitter at Schumann Family Law, and finding me on LinkedIn. Of course, please also subscribe to my YouTube channel and get the audio versions of the Ontario Family Law podcast on iTunes, on SoundCloud, or at www.schumannlaw.ca. Thanks for participating in this podcast. We will get together again soon.